The following podcast has been brought to you by Catholic Digital Resources. Visit the website catholicdr.com for downloadable parish resources. At Catholic Digital Resources, you can find faith-building bulletin inserts on the Sunday Scriptures, RCIA materials, ready-made PowerPoints for catechists, faith-sharing materials for Bible study groups and small Christian communities, and much more. Download faith formation resources and evangelization tools from Catholic Digital Resources at catholicdr.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
One of my favorite scriptures is John 14:12. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I tell you." And you know, whenever he says it twice, "truly, truly," he's saying, "Listen, this is very, very important." Notice I said two verys. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I'm doing. And in fact, he will do even greater things that I've been doing because I'm going to the Father." What happens here is Jesus is talking about when he goes to the Father, he will send us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifests God's divine power in us and through us. In us for our own faith growth and for others through us, so that we can bring the world to Christ, so that we can minister to others and be Christ's hands and feet doing the works of Jesus in this world today. That was John 14:12. John 14:13, the next verse says, let me back that up a little bit to put it in context, reading those two verses together, because they belong together. Scripture is never meant to be read one verse at a time, out of context with the bigger picture. He says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me, whatever," now we're getting to verse 13, "whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Okay, his motive there, notice, is the glorification of God the Father. This needs to be our motivation anytime we ask something. See, we don't ask rightly. We don't receive what we ask for because we're not asking rightly. We are not asking with God to be glorified as the primary and most important reason for the asking. James 4, verse 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." But we say, wait a minute. I pray every day. I'm always asking God for things, and I'm still waiting for him to answer my prayers. He answers some of them, yes, but there's some very important things he hasn't answered yet. James is telling us in verse 2 of the fourth chapter, you do not have because you do not ask. Let's continue into verse 3 to see what he means here. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. What are the wrong motives he's talking about? He says right here, again in verse 3 still, that you may squander it on your own pleasures. In other words, many of our prayers, I think you could go down a list of all the prayer requests that you've had that in which you feel like God has rejected you, abandoned you, forgotten you, doesn't care about what you're praying about. Do an examination of conscience with that list. How many of those prayer requests are based on what you want? Or maybe what somebody else wants as you're interceding for them. We ask selfishly. Our motives are selfish. And yes, right now I'm not talking about intercessory prayer because that's not selfish. We're praying for somebody else. But maybe what they're asking us to pray for has at the bottom of it selfish motives. In other words, do our prayer requests glorify God, or are they for selfish motives? Now, the two can work together. God does want us to ask things for ourselves. God does want us to say, hey, Daddy, I'm your child, and I would like, you know, sometimes our prayer requests are like Christmas wish lists, like we're talking to Santa Claus or a magic genie. You know, I would like you to give me the car that I would love to have, or I would like you to give me the healing that I've been praying for a long time, or the circumstances that I'm in to change. And we are asking primarily for our selfish purposes. In other words, it's about self. It may be good to ask for them. It may be good and right. It is good and right to ask for healing, to ask God to improve our circumstances, give us the better job, or give us the job when we have none, and etc. When God doesn't immediately answer the prayers, there's a bigger picture going on. There are many reasons why prayers don't get answered or don't get answered fast enough for us. And I'm not going to spend time now going into all the reasons. Just real quickly, one of the reasons is that, you know, God is working a bigger plan. And everybody involved in what our prayer request covers, God is concerned about and wants to do what's best for everybody. And so sometimes we have to wait for other people to cooperate with God's will, to turn their lives over to Christ or to something, you know. But let's get back to the main point of this particular podcast. When we pray for something that benefits us, it is asking for self, selfishly, but think about how can the answer to this prayer glorify God? How can this answer to prayer be turned into ministry? How can God, solving my problem, healing me, getting me the new job, whatever, how can that be turned into ministry? And then we say, Lord, thy will be done with, you know, what you know is best in this situation that I'm praying about. But whatever you decide to do with this, if you give me what I'm asking for, or in the way that I'm asking for it, or in a way that you know is better, nonetheless, however it turns out, when you answer this prayer, I want to use it to help others grow closer to you. I want to turn this into some kind of ministry. I want to glorify you with it. I want to tell others what you have done for me. I want to excite others, get them to really understand that you really do care and that your divine power is available on earth today, just like it was in the book of Acts, where the Christians were constantly experiencing the divine supernatural power of God intervening in their lives and in their church and their community. We need to ask, getting back to John 14, whatever you ask for in my name, Jesus says in verse 13, I will do so that the Father may be glorified. So let us ask, Lord, how can I glorify you? And if we don't find any way to glorify the Lord with what we're asking for, then we need to change our prayer request. We need to stop expecting God to give us what we want. And we need to stop blaming God when he doesn't give us what we want. We need to do a good examination of conscience and look at what is most important to God. This is what should be most important to me. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Verse 32, let me get into more what all these things mean by putting it into the context of verse 32. The pagans strive after all these things, and all these things he's referring to is, you know, what they're hoping if they were praying people, what they would be praying for. Maybe they are praying to their other gods, asking for money, for food, for health, for success, whatever it is. Think about what pagan means. We know a lot of pagans. We are all surrounded by pagans. A pagan is somebody who is not putting God first, is not following Christ, is not choosing to belong to the kingdom of God and the community of Christ, the community that Jesus came to start. It's called the church. Look around you at the people who are trying to handle life on their own. What's frustrating them? What's worrying them? What are they hoping for? What's their focus on? Jesus says, you're different. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things, the success, the health, the food you need to eat, the job to help you pay your bills. And a little aside here, the first question we should be asking God is, am I spending the money that you provide for me through work on what you want me to spend it on? If I'm overspending, if I'm in debt and need a better paying job because I have spent money where you did not tell me to spend it, I've spent more than you asked me to spend on something. I've been shopping for the pleasure of what I can get for me rather than, is this serving my needs well enough, enabling me to do and live the way God wants me to? This is seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. We need to examine every prayer request we have, every desire we have. Because you know what, my friend? Your desires are prayers. Did you know that? You don't have to be praying every time, Lord, help me to receive the answer to this prayer, whatever that prayer might be. Your heart continues to yearn for it throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. God receives that yearning as a prayer request. He sees it as a prayer of your spirit, a prayer that goes all the way down to your soul. Your heart is yearning. Is what your heart yearning for going to glorify God in some way? Can you use what you're yearning for to help others grow closer to Christ or discover Christ for the first time? Discover the real Christ. You know, it's very easy today for anybody, any pagan, any non-believer, to learn who Jesus is. We've got the internet. We've got WhatsApp where people can and are sharing a lot of faith-based things. We've got all kinds of tools of communication. The good news is there for anybody who seeks it, but we are the hands and feet and voice of Jesus. We are the ones who invite people to come discover who Jesus really is. When people don't follow Jesus, when they don't turn to Jesus, when they are disbelievers, it's because they have not met the real Jesus. They have not understood who Jesus really is, how much he really cares, what his dying on the cross achieved and why it's important, how they're trapped in slavery to sin when they don't follow Christ, and how that slavery to sin is really enslaving them, how it is really detrimental to them, even though they're pursuing what feels good, you know, what their, as we say, their flesh nature is craving. Every prayer request we have, every desire of our heart should be not only for ourselves, but for the kingdom of God, glorifying God. Let me share with you an example. Back when I was an adult baby Christian, by that I mean back in the days when I was first, as an adult, turning to Christ. You see, I had turned away from Christ in my later teenage years and early adulthood. I had turned away. I'd grown up with Christ, but I had turned away from him and from church because I'd gotten involved with the occult and believed that my supernatural powers, I did not need God for supernatural powers in my life. I did not need the supernatural of God. And in fact, I didn't believe that God provided the supernatural through church, through community, Christian community. I had to go seeking it on my own. I found it on India Cult. Well, that enslaved me to the lies of demons. I didn't believe demons were real, so that made me feel safe in doing it. But it did enslave me to the lies of demons. And Jesus rescued me from that. Jesus spoke through a friend who told me about Jesus in the Eucharist, about the supernatural manifestation of God in turning the bread and wine into the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. When I first got that idea and I began to turn my heart back to Christ, I began to turn my eyes in the right direction and my feet wanted to go in the right direction. There was a Christian conference that this friend who had pointed me in the right direction was about to go to. And I instinctively knew, and I would say that was an instinct that was empowered by the Holy Spirit. I did not know the Holy Spirit in a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit yet. I knew he existed as part of the Holy Trinity, but I did not really have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit ever in my life. So that was a foreign concept to me. But when Jesus is in you, you've also got the Holy Spirit. And when I turned back to Jesus, the Holy Spirit began to come alive in me. And he gave me a desire to follow my friend to this Christian conference. It was, as it turned out, a charismatic conference, but I knew nothing about that. I didn't understand any of that. I just knew that my friend was going to a Christian conference, and I felt in my spirit, I felt inside of me a stirring that said, I have got to get there. Now, I was a newlywed at the time, and this would have been the first time I would have been away from my new husband. And I didn't think that he was going to want to part company with me, for it was going to be just about a week. And I wasn't sure that I wanted to part company from him. You know, we were tight-knit, and we had never been apart since we had gotten married. And yet, the urge in me to go was stronger than the urge, and again, this was the Holy Spirit at work, the urge to stay with my husband for those few days. So I had one obstacle to overcome. I had to convince my husband that out of the blue, me going away to this Christian conference, even though I wasn't going to church and he wasn't going to church, that, you know, this was a good thing and I should go ahead. The second obstacle I was facing was, as newlyweds, we didn't have money for a kind of a trip like that. We didn't have money. We had barely enough money in the bank for my plane ticket and, of course, money to pay our regular bills, but also a plane ticket and a hotel room and the conference fees and the food. So if I was going to go to this conference, I was going to have to take a big step in faith. I was going to have to go despite the fact that it looked illogical financially to go. And there's a key that we need to remember. When God wants to work in our lives, do something powerful in our lives, answer our prayers in a powerful way, he asks us to do something that seems illogical. God often asks us to do something illogical because he is building our trust. He wants to show us that when the prayer is answered, it's because he did it, not because in the natural course of things it was going to happen anyways. And it is when we do the unusual, the illogical, the thing that doesn't make sense, that God is glorified, and we enter into things that are even better than we were thinking of or asking for or imagining. You know, for example, and I'll get back to my other example in a minute here, but about a year ago, I was having some knee problems. Yeah, I'm in my 60s, you know, my knees are starting to get old and you know, creaky and weak. And I was having some severe pain in my right knee. So at church, I stopped kneeling because it was just way too painful to kneel. And I prayed, asking the Lord to heal my knee. And this went on for several weeks. And I'm like, Lord, why aren't you healing my knee? And I did not want to go to the doctor for it because insurance was not going to pay for what was causing the pain. My knee wasn't so bad that insurance would pay for any kind of work on it. But hey, it was painful. And walking was painful. And certainly kneeling was painful. One day at Mass, I said, you know what? And again, this was the Holy Spirit working in me. The illogical thought came to me. You know what? I'm going to kneel anyways. Jesus is more important than my pain. So I'm going to kneel and offer up the pain to Jesus. I'm going to ask him to receive it to himself as some kind of a gift that unites to his what he did for us on the cross, and maybe he can use it as redemptive healing for somebody. When I knelt at that time, there was no pain, and the pain remained away. Jesus healed my knee when I did that act of, I'm not doing this for me, I'm not asking anymore for me, I'm doing it and asking for a healing for the sake of Jesus and being able to kneel to Jesus. And if he wants to use my pain, if he wants me to stay in pain, let's put that to good use too. When we do the illogical, because the Holy Spirit is putting it in our hearts to do it, that's when miracles happen. That's when we glorify God. That's when a difference happens that is important, some kind of difference in our lives and in the lives of others. We need to have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit in order to hear him give us the illogical commands, in order to hear him tell us what to do in order for God to be glorified. Getting back to my story about when I was an adult baby Christian, like I said, it was illogical to spend the money going to this conference, but the feeling in me to go was overwhelming enough that, again, that was the action of the Holy Spirit in me, that I decided to go ahead and trust God that we would not suffer financially as a result of me doing this. Trust God that he was going to take care of us. Then I had a third obstacle that I was facing. I had a job. I was fairly new at the job. And it was working in a department store where it was a small department. It was the camera department that I was working in. And I did not think my boss would give me the time off. I certainly hadn't earned the time off. And he would have had to bring somebody else in, I don't know who, to sub for me while I was gone. And I just didn't know who that would be. And I doubted that my boss would say yes to my request. Well, of course, God took care of all three of those obstacles. He put it in my husband's heart to say, yes, okay, go. He put it into my boss's heart to say, yes, okay, go. And that second obstacle, the finances of it, well, as it turned out, I ended up sharing a hotel room with somebody, which cut down the costs. And every time that it was lunchtime and the box lunches were handed out for this conference, and I had not paid for the lunches, somebody came along and said, you know what, I can't eat my lunch, or I'm not going to eat my lunch this time, so could you use my lunch? And that happened every time the friend who had gone there and had inspired me to go to this conference, and the two of us, we had prayed together, Lord, provide the food for Terry. And when we did that, somebody came along every time with their lunch, and I ate. There were also times, occasionally, we learned from this, when we didn't ask because we just expected that, well, God's already been doing this. He's going to continue doing it. Well, guess what? He didn't. And so my friend shared with me half of his lunch. And we laughed and we learned and says, no, we need to ask. Jesus said, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God was definitely glorified every time somebody brought me their lunch because my friend and I had asked for God to provide the food. And that particular obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the movement of the Holy Spirit within me, that particular experience of doing something illogical because the Holy Spirit was motivating me to do it, that changed my life and many countless others besides, because that was when I met the Holy Spirit as a personal friend. That is when I came alive in a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. That whole conference brought my faith, my relationship with the Holy Spirit so alive that I entered into the miraculous life. I entered into the kingdom of God in such a way, the way God intended it to be. Although not fully, because I live in a time and in a world where we really, in the church, do not understand how to live like the first Christians did in the book of Acts. And so I'm still learning. I'm not where I think I should be. The church is not where, for the most part, I mean, there are pockets of, let's say, the Acts of the Apostles today. There are places in this world where that stuff happens. There are communities. There are people who are doing the works of the Lord in ministry where miracles happen. The multiplying of the loaves and fish. People being raised from the dead. Miraculous healings. But let me get back to my normal everyday life. On a daily basis, I see God's hand miraculously at work in my life through the way He times things. If you want to know that God is working miraculously in your life, pay attention to the timing of things. You can recognize God's hand at work in your life, God's intervention happening, when you focus on letting God be in charge of the timing. I start every day asking God to be in charge of the timing of everything that's going to happen that day. That's a very valuable prayer, my friend, because that is asking for something that is guaranteed He will do. And when we start paying attention to it, we notice and our faith grows. For example, we can say, you know what? I'm heading to church now, or I'm going to the grocery store, whatever, and it's raining. Lord, let the rain stop by the time I get to the parking lot of that place I'm headed to. Most of the time, the rain stops or at least slows down so much that I do not need an umbrella. It can be pouring when I leave home, but it's not by the time I get to my destination. Or something that just happened yesterday, for example. I'm working in my office here at Good News Ministries, and I ask my husband, Ralph, to bring me something from home. And just as he arrives at the office, I get a phone call that was important for both Ralph and me to hear together. Perfect timing. There's no such thing as coincidence when it comes to timing. That is God's hand at work. So, my friend, seek a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Seek first the kingdom of God to come fully alive in your life. And make your prayer requests. Seek to glorify God. Seek first the kingdom of God and, as Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His holiness, His way of doing things in your life, His way of doing things that he wants you to do. He wants you to imitate. Don't live like the pagans. You are different if you are a follower of Christ. Don't be like the people in the world who are putting themselves first, and God may not be anywhere, or God is in their priority list somewhere, but not first, or not first in certain things in their lives. Don't be like that. And then all the things that you need, all the things that you ask for in the name of Jesus will be added into your life. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, I want to have a personal relationship with you. I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior, and I want you, Holy Spirit, to be my guide. I want you, Holy Spirit, to work your miracles in my life and through me for the benefit of others, in order for God to be glorified and your kingdom to become fuller, more fully available here on this earth for the sake of the world, so that the world may be changed for the glory of God. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me so that I can be your instrument in this world. Amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.